Bethlehem Ephrathah, a small patch of land 5 miles southwest of Jerusalem, where the only view you're likely to see is a rocky hillside and a flock of sheep. But don't let appearances fool you. Often the most important movements in history spring from humble places, and even a flock of sheep can be more than meets the eye. The lawgiver, Moses, spent 40 years in a barren wilderness watching sheep before he led the nation Israel out of bondage. David was a shepherd in these very hills before he was called to be a king. Yes, from Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob, even the prophet Amos. The God of heaven, it seems, has always held a special place in his heart for shepherds. I have kept watch over the flocks of Bethlehem all my life, as my father before me and his father before him. To look at them, they may not seem like much, but these humble sheep are called for a very special purpose. The sheep I tend are the sacrificial lambs, offered each year in Jerusalem for the sins of the people. Perfect lambs, without blemish, spot, or imperfection, killed on the altar that their spilt blood might take the place of ours, killed that we might live. Naturally, we shepherds take our work very seriously, and we guard our flocks with great care. So you can imagine my surprise a few nights ago when I see 5 of my fellow shepherds come bounding over the hill like madmen, leaving their sheep untended and babbling about angels and the glory of the Lord. I smelled no wine on their breath, but the story they told was simply impossible to believe. Angels, they said. Angels appeared out of nowhere and told us, "Fear not! Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." There's more. Then they said, a multitude of the heavenly host appeared, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." These are men I have known all my life, sensible men with families. They asked if I was coming with them. "Where?" I said. "Why, to find the manger, of course." Well, I sat myself down right in that pasture and said, "No, sir, I am not. I have a job to do, and I can't go chasing visions through the stables of Bethlehem." Then they just skipped away, laughing and leaping. I was left alone once again, watching my flock in the cold Bethlehem night.
No proper place, no regal palace to receive a royal birth. God's gift of love wrapped in an infant would be his way to reach the earth. A bed of straw became a cradle, embracing God in human form. One would expect stable, but where else would a lamb be born? But where else would a lamb be born?
No stately house, no noble mansion.
A bed of straw.
A bed of straw became a cradle, embracing God in human form. What would expect more than a stable? But where else would a lamb be born? But where else would a
Bethlehem, O little town you may be, but how still we see thee lie? Not on a night like this. I'm too old for this kind of work. There was once a time when being an innkeeper was a restful living, a way to make a few coppers without breaking your back. One of the reasons I settled in Bethlehem was to stay away from the traffic and troubles of the larger cities. Well, relax and watch the sun go down each day, I tell my wife. The grandchildren are close, the weather is mild. Then comes the census. Never in my life have I seen so many people. All hours of the night they come, with the yelling and the pushing, not a moment's rest. People sleeping in every corner of the floor, every room jammed with 2 and 3 families. Eppy and I give up our own beds to take in all the people, and still they come. So many people, so many faces and voices filling this place. Madness. I'm stepping outside to get some air, and when I throw open the front door, there stands this little couple on my doorstep, a man and a young woman. The man with his hand raised, ready to knock. I open my mouth to snap at them, tell them we can't take any more people, and then I see the young woman's eyes. She was frightened. Her husband was too, but the woman was barely more than a girl herself, and just about to burst with the baby she was carrying. And there they stand, asking me, begging me for a room. I told the man we were full. He should check up the road a ways, but he said this was the last place in town. They'd been turned away at every inn in Bethlehem. Someone inside called out for more blankets. I mumbled to the man, "Try the barn then," and I shut the door. You understand that there was nothing else I could do. The last thing I saw before the door shut was that woman's eyes.
Joseph and his wife. Bethlehem, a tiny speck of a city far to the west, barely a smudge in the map. Hardly a choice for the birthplace of a king. My people call me a wise man. While other men engage in crafts and trades, I spend my working hours with my head in the clouds. You see, I have given my life to the study of the stars and the times. I pore over charts and ancient texts, sifting the truth from the lie, the history from the myth, the light from the darkness. Does that make me wise? I rather doubt it. A knowledge of the stars hardly even makes one interesting these days. But I don't mind. The stars are the only friends I need. I've spent the better part of my life cataloging these pinpoints of light in the evening sky, and I know them like a father knows his own children. The warrior, the great bear, and that one. Do you see that star in the western sky, brighter than the rest? That one has no name, at least not yet. That star is new. It caused quite a stir with the others some weeks ago. We searched the ancient texts, studying the prophecies of old, until we at last found the answer, buried deep in the writings of the Hebrew people. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old, from everlasting. Well, my fellow magi couldn't leave quickly enough. They loaded their camels and horses with gifts and were off the next night, following the star. As for me, well, I told them I was too busy with my studies, too old to go chasing starlight and prophecies. But that wasn't true. The truth is that I was too afraid. I've spent my life reading about truth. I'm not certain I wish to meet it face to face. The gods I know live in dusty books or inhabit faraway palaces in the heavens. To think of a god that we can touch with our hands, see with our eyes. What am I to think of such a god? What might he think of me?
lately I've been thinking much about that little baby.
That lamb for the slaughter.
That King of Kings.
About the look in his mother's eyes.
The song the angels sang.
The star in the western sky.
And I can't help but think,
I should have had faith.
I should have had courage.
I should have made room.
Forever, holy is He.